that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, December 18th, 2021. And I want to welcome you to the program and let you know we'll have the phone lines open this morning. And we've got a couple of men here to share some things with you. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And Josh, way down south, good morning to you too, sir.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, we thank you for joining us. We're glad you're here. And like I said, we'll have the phone lines open if you have a question or a comment. Certainly plenty going on out in the world, but you know, God is doing plenty as well. And he is continuing to work in all that he does. And if we just will have the eyes to see the works that he is working and the patience that he has towards all of us, I think it would do us well. And let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. Looks like a beautiful sunrise coming here in about 20 minutes. And we thank you for your good weather in its season. Lord, we pray for your protection to be upon your people, Lord, across our country in Kentucky and Arkansas and Nebraska and Kansas, as Lord, as they face tough times with fires and wind and destruction. But we pray your blessings, your protection upon those that are yours. Lord, we're reminded of Psalms 91, for those that excuse me, that dwell in the shelter, that Lord, they are protected by you. And we thank you for the refuge that you are, O Lord. Guide and direct us this day. Give us the words to speak, Lord, to encourage one another and to encourage your remnant. We pray for this nation, Lord. We pray for godly leaders. Lord, we pray for a repentance and a revival in the land, a returning to you. And that is the only way, Lord, we understand. That is the only way to make America great again. And that is to be good again. And the only way to be good again is to return to you and your will and your way. And so we pray this to your glory, Lord, praying, believing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So, didn't know if anybody had. I've got a couple of things to talk about this morning, but if anybody had anything special, I know the weather this week has just been a little out of the ordinary, I think, for December. Maybe I'm just not remembering things correctly, but Tim, tornadoes in Nebraska, is that normal for, you know, mid-December?
Not usually, but you know, we've made comments before about the fact that it seems like we can get anything anytime, and I think that you know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about preppers, and they of course had a very negative opinion of them, and I can even understand to a certain degree why that is, but it's more about the preparation of the heart and the soul. And the body follows suit, you know, but I think a lot of times it's like be prepared for anything. I mean, we had a little gal out here, one of my daughter's friends, and they got ready to go home, and my wife said, well, do you have a coat? And she said, well, no, it was warm when I left the house. And of course, it was like 12 above when they were going back. And so it's like you've got to be, you know, you got to be prepared for anything. It really does go back to the virgins and the oil in the Bible, and it's like they were prepared. They were preppers. They had their first off, they had their lamp, and they had their oil, and they even had some way to light it, and they had something to trim the wick with. So, you know, be ready in season and out of season. I mean, it's one of those things, and we see all that go on. And I was thinking about that wind when it was blowing, and of course, not too fond of those kinds of winds when they're blowing 90 and 100 miles an hour. And it's very inconvenient. It's very dangerous. You literally got to watch for things blowing around that can seriously injure you, you know, when you're out moving around or if you're doing anything. And I was like, well, I just don't know how that could get much worse. And, you know, God just put that thought in my head. Well, you know, there's no fires. So,
yes.
You know, if there had been a prairie fire or something along those lines or an electrical fire, we're extremely dry. That would have been just catastrophic. So God is good, and I don't know the reason that the wind needed to blow like that, but he does. And, you know, we try to be prepared physically for whatever and comes our way, and we try to be prepared mentally and spiritually. It's like, well, God's taking care of us, and we know that. And whatever that wind was supposed to do, I know it did it, and I know he was at the root of the reason it was doing those things. So, you know, and bless the name of the Lord. That's the way we've got to look at it. That should be your default setting. When you really don't understand, you know, you back up and say, blessed is the name of the Lord. And he does those things for his reason, and I may never understand it, and that's okay. I don't need to, you know. So my Father has it well in hand.
Amen.
And that's kind of the way we have to look at those things. But yeah, it was power poles blowing down and roads blowing off. And talked to one of my friends, and he was going down the road and met a semi truck, and the hood literally was ripped off the semi truck and thrown across the road in front of him into the ditch. But luckily he didn't hit it, you know. Oh wait, no, that wasn't luckily. That was God's blessing and divine providence.
Amen.
So, he made it on home safely, and it's just one of those things. So, you know, it was bad, but I'm sure it was bad for other people as well. But, you know, the Lord brings us through.
Amen. Amen. Well, Josh, how about, I know those storms a week ago that, boy, when I saw them, they stretched from your neck of the woods way down south all the way up through the middle of the country into the Great Lakes. Didn't know if you guys had any bad damage down there or what. How'd that impact down there with where you guys are?
Thankfully, no. It wasn't really wasn't bad down here. But to build off of Tim's conversation of the preppers, and you know, that is a biblical principle. You know, when God tells you to prepare, there's a flood coming, it would behoove you to obey and build a boat. You know, whenever God tells you to put up grain in the storehouse because there's a famine coming, you know, you need to do what he tells you and do that, and he will give us plenty. But the thing in that, it goes along with that negative connotation that goes with the prepper mindset with us Christians, is that it's so easy to look to those preparations as some amount of a God. You know, well, I'm prepared, I'm good, I don't have to worry about that. And biblically, that's not the example that was set for us. These different situations in the Bible, you know, those virgins, they had that oil, but they didn't look to those lamps as what was going to get them where they needed to go. I mean, they had their eyes on the goal. When Noah knew that a boat couldn't save him, he had to have God to save him. And then he was following that leadership. So definitely, I know it's a sound biblical principle for us to be prepared, but we need to all be seeking God and seeing what he would have us to prepare for. I mean, as a body, we the church all serve different roles, and we're to do our part, and he gives us and when we ask him for more, most of the time he gives us more. But it's always important to not let anything become a God and come between us and him. You know, whether that, it doesn't matter what that is, that's that statement captures everything. So but thankfully, you know, we're spared that, and we have been time and time again where you know, the storm's coming right for us, and they part or they lose string through the this or that, and sometimes they do hit. But it does help to, or it is everything to be found where you're supposed to be and to have God's favor and his hand of protection. And, you know, it's a blessing to get to run on those generators for a couple of weeks sometimes. It makes you appreciate when you're not.
Amen to
and,
that.
Make sure they work.
That's right. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you guys got through. I know Kansas had, Tim, like you mentioned, at least there weren't fires. They had the wind and fires. They've had, I don't know how many acres burned, but homes and crops and hay and cattle destroyed. And, yeah, it has been a... you know, you kind of expect maybe winter storms, snowstorms in December.
Yeah.
But you know, tornadoes and firestorms and 100-mile-an-hour winds driving those storms, or like you said there in Nebraska, we this week had 107-mile-per-hour wind recorded. It was a new record in the mountains of Colorado in some little town. And it is just... you know, it's I think, and I've spoke with many Christians about it, it's all creation groaning, you know, crying out at the abominations in the land, and you know, and these things we read throughout, you know, we read that God speaks out of the tempest. And I think it's one of the ways that our God has to try to get the attention of his people, to be like both you guys mentioned, to be prepared, to be ready, and certainly spiritually first and foremost, to have that right relationship with him, you know, to be able to abide, as Psalms 91 says, you know, to dwell in his shelter, regardless of where you live, but to dwell in his shelter, so that no matter what comes, whether it is fire or wind or flood or storm, that you're able to get through it.
And then, well, and I think like going back to what Josh said, you know, you set that stuff up as an idol. I mean, you look at that as, and you know, I 1 John 5:20-21, you know, says, let's see, and we know that the Son of God has come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then you have verse 21, it's the end of the chapter, and little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You know, that covers anything that's not that is verse 21. You know, if you're believing in that to save you to for your salvation, whether it's your physical salvation or the salvation of your soul or anything else, you've set that up as an idol. And we know that God knocks idols down. So, but yeah, that, you know, I mean, another way that occurred to me to look at this is all these heating prices for heating oil and propane and natural gas have really, really gone up. And they were talking about how bad it was going to be this winter for everybody to heat their places. And, you know, we've had 60 and 70 degree daytime temps. I mean, the nights get down fairly chilly, but only for a few hours, and then it comes right back up. And most people around here are like, wow, I think my heating bill went down, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, yes, yes. God is good, you know. I mean,
amen.
Well, and then he can, going right along with that, Tim, here, we had it rained all the first half of the summer, you know, and we weren't able to get up a whole lot of hay. A lot of times we'll get, you know, for sure two cuttings, a lot of times three cuttings of hay. And right now I'm looking out at green grass out there in the field. Granted, it's not a lot of it, but we've still got some native grass we've been able to graze. I mean, I just started haying a week ago, and that's a blessing whenever you don't have an abundance of hay.
Yes, know, it so is.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been running the air conditioning for the last week or two. You know, just
in December.
just a little bit warm.
I actually had the air on in the truck the other day. You know, I was going somewhere. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to stick the AC on. It's fucking hot.
But back to that, you know, we, as his people, as his remnant that's seeking him, we can prosper in the midst of whatever their plans are. They make their plans, and then God laughs.
Yes.
And we should just be praying fervently for a revival throughout our land, because whenever we turn to God and not those idols, those idols lose their power, figuratively and actually, you know, in both cases.
Absolutely, and I just read, unfortunately I don't have it because I've had some computer issues, and I had it marked for me or laid out on here, but I lost it. But there was just an article out here, well, within the week, that was talking about the fact that the churches are seeing a major, major uptick in attendance and people walking through the doors. And, you know, I you know, I don't know which church or anything else, but the way I look at that is when you seek the truth, it finds you. And we got a lot of people out there looking, but they were, you know, the gist of the article was that it's up double or triple numbers of people that are seeking to find something out. And a lot of the people that are there are people who have never done that before. I mean, they're new, I mean, not church attendees, not people who spend a lot of time with that. And the age bracket that they gave was an amazing number too, because it was the below 30s, you know what I mean? And I was like, wow, that's a revival, because we talk about that a lot. It's not that we don't care about our young people, or that we're not worried about them, or that we want to bash them, but they need Jesus, you know. And all knowledge and all prosperity and all liberty and success is found there first. You know, it has to start there. So, and you know, when you look at that, it, to me, it's encouraging to see those kinds of things going on. So, what a blessing.
It is. It. I had a young lady mention that to me, that, you know, during this time that the over the last 2 years, a lot of the churches were shut down, but people were still seeking. There were still some people that were looking, and she was one of them. And so she said, you know, she said, I just opened up my Bible. And she said, I started reading, and she said, I've been convicted. She said, our you know, pastors in the past, she said, meaning these, she's had been here in California and Michigan, they failed us. They're not preaching what I'm reading here in this word. And she said, you know, she said, I've got to find a church that preaches this that I'm reading. And I thought that was real encouraging, that, you know, if the people, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, when they would find the law, that's what would turn them. They would get back to the written word, the law. And especially with what you're saying, Tim, I think it is continually happening. There are people that are looking for the truth, like you said. And if they will take the time to read the word, and to ask and pray for understanding in the word, it will be given to them. It will. And I think we're seeing people doing that are looking, they're searching for truths. They're seeing what a mess this world is in, and wanting to find answers.
Yeah, no, it's seeking, you should find.
Yes.
Go ahead, Josh.
That makes me think about, you know, that speaks back to our responsibility for those that are seeking. And we know that we're not supposed to look to any man. We're supposed to look to God and His Word. But we also know that it's accurate, especially for the children, whether they be our actual children that are younger than us and watching everything we do, are those who are babes in Christ, or those that are seeking. They're watching what we do as Christians every single day, and it's our responsibility to be living a life that would make them want to turn towards Christianity. I know there's been people in the past that I have spoken it. Well, if that guy's a Christian, I don't know. I don't know what he's got, you know. Because we look at people and where they're at to see and judge the churches, and to, you know, we look at the people that work for companies, and the way those people behave, that's the brand of that company. I mean, it's just, it's human nature, and we have the responsibility. You know, we call ourselves and we believe and fancy ourselves to be Christians and servants of Christ. Well, we got responsibility to live our lives in such a way that reflects the true kingdom and that would make Christ happy, you know, when he's looking at us, that he would be approving of where we're at. And that's a big responsibility, and sometimes I know myself lose track of the fact that, especially whenever I was younger, but that everybody around you is watching you all the time. You may not realize it, and you may think, oh, I'm nobody, why would they be? They are. People are watching you, and they're making notes. You may not know it. You may not see it. They may not ever tell you anything. But they're watching what we do, and we're to be that light that is shining for the folks around us, not a blemish or a stain. And so we got to keep that in mind every day in every situation that we're faced with. You can't go the easy route, the low road. We've got to hold true to the faith and do what we're supposed to do and act like men. And sometimes that takes us making the sacrifice of turning the other cheek, you know, and not being self-righteous and, well, I'm not going to allow somebody to disrespect me like that, you know, and firing back. Sometimes you just got to take those licks. I mean, good gracious, Christ definitely took way more licks than we ever will. You know, and it doesn't injure you to have your pride pulled in check by somebody, and but it can certainly injure your reputation if you fly off the handle and cuss them out and handle the situation incorrectly.
You know, Josh, yep. I couldn't help but think of Chick-fil-A when you were talking about that. And I think most people are aware of Chick-fil-A, you know, Baptist group started years ago, but they are so different when you go there. I wish the food was a little healthier. If it was, I'd eat there a lot more when I do go out. But, you know, but when you go there, they have a company philosophy that is biblically based. You know, they close down a day a week to observe the Sabbath. Not to get into whether they got the right Sabbath or not, they're Baptists, okay? I was raised Southern Baptist. Nobody's perfect, all of us included. But, you know, they have risen to what the number two fast food company in the world, and they're only in the United States, and they're only open 6 days a week. And it's because they use biblical principles. They pay well. They expect their people. They have a culture, you know, of loving your neighbor. They do. They have a culture of being being pleasant. You know, I know that it's on a, you know, when we get into the deeper things of the word and the deeper things of how we are to be, that it's almost superficial. But I think that it is a good example, a good starting point, you know, of not just customer service, but you know, the you know, if you're ever around one, just get a cup of coffee and sit back. You know, if you're in one in the morning, get a cup of coffee and just sit in one of the back rooms and watch the people. I've done that. You know, I guess that's what kind of brought it up, is they conduct themselves in a proper way, and that's what I was thinking about when you were talking, Josh, was that, you know, you're being watched. We are, you know, people know in each one of our circles, whether you're up in Washington State, whether you're in Florida, anywhere in between, people know that you're Christian, and we are being watched to see. We're being watched to see how we respond to these situations that we're in. You know, this Obama 2.0, Antichrist administration, the mess that's in the land, whether it's the economy or the fuel prices or whatever. We're being watched to see how we respond. And people make judgments on that. They do. I don't mean to be rambling, but it just does. I think back to how, how this Chick-fil-A company expects their people to be, what they put forth. It's not just the manager saying or the owner saying this is how you have to be. They are that way. Back a month or two ago when they were having the early morning prayer meetings for Hannah, there were about 100 people showing up for that. That's a couple hours away for us. We had to get up pretty early to go down and do that. But there was a Chick-fil-A right around the corner. So we would have that, and when it would break up, we could stop by there and, get a little chicken biscuit and a coffee to go and start heading back to the ranch. But every time I stopped in there, the owner was there, 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll get off that subject. It just, they behaved properly. They behaved properly. How about that? And I think we could all learn something from that and apply that to our lives as well.
Well, that's what I like the example, because you're not saying they're perfect. And is the food perfect? No. But once again, we're talking about men, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. But I don't think there's anybody that has heard of Chick-fil-A that doesn't know where they stand and where their values are, and that they are a Christian company. And they don't just speak it; they do it. You can look at them and see them doing it every day consistently. And on the wake of these natural disasters and the ice storms and the different things, when folks have been stranded, this and that, and it's cold and icy. Well, they have cooked all the food they've had and given it away, on multiple different occasions, and opened their doors to folks for them to come in there and warm up and fed them with no charge and all that. And that's putting your money where your mouth is, and reaching out. And there's just a whole lot more. Communication is a two-way thing. Whenever you're speaking, you're not really doing anything if the person on the other side of the conversation isn't hearing you. And so actions speak louder than words. We know that. That's a saying, and it is the truth. So whenever we behave in that way, whenever we do open our mouth, it gives you a louder voice to be able to speak, because people know that you are practicing what you preach, which means you actually believe it.
Yes.
Instead of just being somebody to talk. And so I think they have effectively done that, regardless of whoever's opinion of their company. I think that's a great example of what we're talking about.
Well, it's back to that fruit test. We talk about that a lot, but every single person alive, Christian or not, discriminates every day, and they discriminate based on the fruit. I like the fruit test. It was divine wisdom, but if you go in to buy some peaches, you don't go over and to the basket and pick your peaches out of a basket where they're mushy and falling apart and they're running out the bottom of the basket. No, you want those perfect peaches. You want the ones that they'll make it home. They'll be beautiful. They'll be sweet and good. And it doesn't. And people are not only are we commanded to test those individuals as far as what we're seeing and what we're doing, but they do it by default. Those people who are outside the light of God's love and God's power, they do it. It's a default setting in all of us. They're looking at that. Oh, that looks nice. I think I can I think I can. It's a built-in thing. God built it into them. You know, the other way they write it is the law of God's written upon their hearts. But that's what causes them to see that. And you know, it just is the default setting for us all. And so, like you said, people are watching you all the time. So, consequently, the vendor of the fruit doesn't put the rotten stuff out there. But, you know, there's a bushel of peaches, you know. Yeah, they're total mush, and you can have them. No, he sets out his best fruit. He puts forward the best stuff he has because that's what people will want. And you know, they'll be back for more. So, you know, it's a really, really awesome biblical analogy, what we see. So, and it fits in to what we're talking about, I really think. So.
Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open if you'd like to join in, 307-745-5913. And,
Have you guys seen all these companies walking back this vaccination requirement?
You know, Boeing, that's on my list. Boeing backs off the vaccination mandate. And so, yes, you know, you're seeing it more and more. But go ahead. I don't know if you have another list or had some more on that, but seeing it finally.
Yeah. Well, and some of the names on the list are very interesting. I mean, you've got the University of Iowa. One of them is Advent Healthcare. They own 300 hospitals and employ 500,000 people. You know, I just thought that was and the problem with those kinds of things is, from their point of view, the evil workers. Is that once, and we're seeing that, this wake-up call all over the place. So a very good friend of mine, her husband ended up in the hospital, and their family and friends, and she said they went in there. Of course, they're not vaccinated, and they went in there, and she's like, I don't know what kind of problem that's going to be. And they talked to the doctor, and he said, well, that's not a problem. He said, we're fine with that. So they took care of everything, no issue. We're seeing an awakening going on in this land as far as people to their ability to say no, to their ability to look at other options. And, you know, people are stopping and listening, not just to, I mean, talk about the vaccine and about all this kind of these kinds of things, but the truth of the matter is they're stopping and listening to other things too. So, well, if that's wrong, what else we got?
You know, right.
We're seeing that God's wake-up call. So I find it extremely encouraging. I mean, the LA Unified School District was one that walked it back. That's Los Angeles, buddy. You know, talk about the seed of all strangeness. Why?
Yes.
It's like.
Well, and the. The people in Canada are getting a little upset as well. I had a member of the congregation sent me a video, and the heading on it said that the government up there had okayed for grocery stores to refuse service to unvaccinated. And, you know, that's a little much. You know, even when the mask came out, I remember talking to the manager of the grocery store here, and she's like, well, we recommend masks. And that's where they've kept it. And most people don't wear masks. But yeah, this video from Canada was like 300 people marching in protest and with signs and everything. I can send it to you, Remnant, if you'd like. Just let me know. And so we're, you know, it is... we have to remember, people, America is the last bastion of freedom in the world. That's what it's coming down to. Because these other nations that were white, Caucasian, Christian, however you want to call them, look at the European nations, destroyed, overrun. Canada, same way. Canada has been socialist for so many years, and they are on all but lockdown. This member called me. She gets our DVDs and our newsletter and all that, her and her husband do. And she said, you know, we've got chicken feed being delivered, and I'll go to the grocery store Monday, and that'll probably be it for a couple weeks. We won't be able to travel. So it is hitting hard in other places. I am encouraged, as you said, Tim, that some American companies are backing off, and it's because Americans are standing up and putting their tongue on the top of their mouth and saying no. There's companies that have threatened, by December 18th, by December 31st, by January 1st, we're going to fire you if you don't have your vaccination in. And now some companies have, some places have, but thankfully a lot of companies are rethinking it, seeing that, hey, listen, a third of our workforce. I had a friend let me know we've got a power plant, coal burning, natural gas burning power plant here, 150 miles away, over just west of us, and they put that mandate out. They employ about 300 people. Over 100 people were going to be gone. So you can't cut a third of a workforce in a power plant and still expect to make power and still expect it to run. So they are reconsidering things. And it's just taken people to stand up and say no. Or to follow through with the threat. Okay, you're going to fire me? Okay, I'll find something better. And I've known several people that have done that. Things are changing. Things are changing in that term we've been using, an awakening. People are waking up to this flu is bad, there's no doubt about it, but it's nothing like the catastrophe that's being put forth by the enemy.
You said a wake up call, and that resonated with me, so I looked it up, and the second definition of a wake up call and Webster's is something that serves to alert a person to a problem, danger, or need. Throughout my life and in what I've seen in history, most of the time, those wake-up calls are not bluebird clear days where everything's going great and you're having a picnic on the hill. those wake-up calls are during the storms, whenever you're in a bind or when you have a close call and almost check out, things like that. And but the nature of a wake-up call is normally a bad situation that makes for a good end result. That's part of the I guess the definition of it, the wake-up call for a positive end result. And that's where we're at. We got all these different things going on around us. And, those tornadoes that affected all this property and these folks, and unfortunately took the lives of a lot of folks. I would imagine they probably changed the lives of many, many more around them that saw what happened and realized that they can't keep on living like there's always going to be a tomorrow, and that's the way God operates. He lets us learn through different events like that, and it's definitely for our best to learn from the different situations. I always say that I try to learn from other people's mistakes. That's what I've always gravitated to. The older folks, always had friends that were a good portion of my friends, or the majority that are older than me. I always like to listen to them and learn. And my philosophy is, it's not that I'm not going to make mistakes. But I want to make different mistakes than what they made. There's no point in me making the same ones again whenever I can look at it and see the outcome.
Exactly.
Amen.
A friend of ours, he used to say, and he was a military man, he was retired, but he used to use the quote, and it escapes me who actually did the quote, so forgive me, but there's no atheists in foxholes, you know, and I also think that when we look at that, that the other takeaway from that that occurs to me is that not all foxholes are in the ground, you know,
yep.
So... which is what you said, Josh. You may be in a foxhole, but it may not be a hole in the ground. And there's no atheists in that foxhole when it really comes right down to it and that need that big, you know. So you're going to find God, or he's going to find you, you hope. So, you know, it's like there's your opportunity. If you were looking for the perfect opportunity, that's it.
Yeah, that word opportunity, Tim, man, that has come up time and time again. You know, I've heard John mention that in regards to this, you know, even this this catastrophic wreck that Hannah and her friend were in, and the you know, as tough as that has been, and Hannah's doing well in rehab and doing well. I've got another update to send out on the prayer chain today, and things, you know, continue to move in the right direction. But I heard John in those prayer meetings, you know, when he was crying out to God, but use that word opportunity. What an opportunity that this has been to pray for others and to think of others and to consider others. And as the word says, to share one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. You want to fulfill the law? We talk a lot about the law. We know the law is still in effect. And he says, fulfill it by sharing one another's burdens. And, you know, it we don't always do that. You know, we are a stiff-necked, obstinate people. You know, the flesh says, look out for number one. And those are things we certainly have to overcome. But when we do that, you know, when we have the opportunity to pray for others, just like this mess that's happened in Kentucky. Two towns have been wiped out. Well, there's an opportunity, like you said, Josh, for those people to grow closer to God. It's an opportunity for people around the country to share their burden and grow closer to God. And it's an opportunity to fulfill the law of Christ. When we have adversity in our life, whether it is sicknesses or loss or disappointment or job change or whatever it is, I think back to the Chick-fil-A, when we have the right attitude about it, you know, when we say my pleasure, you know, you get something from them, thank you, they say, what do they say? My pleasure. They're happy to do it. And when we can have that attitude toward the things that come in our life, it's opportunities for us to grow closer to God, for us to, if we don't abide in that shelter of the Most High, it's an opportunity for us to move to a better neighborhood and to move to that shelter of the Most High and to get under His wings and to be covered by Him and to learn more and to grow in His grace and knowledge. I've sure... you know, tried to learn that from the adversity that, you know, that we've faced. And everybody does. Everybody has, you know, that those trials and those, as Pastor used to talk about, those storms of life. But we do our best to be prepared. Kind of started out with that, talking about preppers and being prepared. You know, that's what, as... I mean, that's part of that good news of the gospel, is that, you know, He is there with us, that that we can be prepared. We can be prepared for eternity, and we should prepare ourselves for eternity. But He gives us the ability to be prepared for today and for what comes today. And He says, don't worry about tomorrow. I'll take care. We'll take care of tomorrow. But we have the ability to be prepared for today, whatever comes. And that there, I think, too, falls that responsibility to, you know, to do our best to let our light shine, regardless of the adversity that comes.
You know, that's another another trap, that tomorrow land that is so easy to fall into, that we go to, you know, want to try to look ahead and be so wise and plan and do, and in so many instances we lose today seeking tomorrow, you know, or working towards tomorrow, and just when I say lose, you know, you don't enjoy the day. You don't take the time to look at that sunrise or the beauty in watching a horse walk across the field in front of you.
Yes.
You know, we would all do well to make an effort to live in the day, you know, and just be thankful for that, because it is a blessing every morning to wake up with the health that that God gives you. I mean, every day is a blessing, and we should not worry about tomorrow. We should not fret over evildoers. We just focus on Him and live in Him. And it's, you know, it sounds easy when you're saying it, and He definitely gives us opportunities to put our money where our mouth is. But it is worth the effort, and that's, you know, me saying it and looking at it is something that I need to work on, because it, with everything going the way that it's been going, you know, there's a lot of things happening around us that look bad, but there are also so many opportunities, you know, and that can rejuvenate people and put them back on the right path. I know here, when we have a major hurricane, you want to see people come together as a community. You let a major event happen, a storm like that, everybody's using their equipment to clear the roads. People get together and they cook and they bring it all to one spot, feed the community. And, you know, their setup, however you want to put it, you know, we oftentimes fall victim to allowing the people around us that are less fortunate, letting the welfare prop them up, you know, letting the government do for them through the food stamps or this and that. We don't do like we're supposed to do and provide for the less fortunate in our community, and that is to our shame. But whenever these events happen, they do serve to bring the community together and to show you a different way, a better way that it can be if we're just where we're supposed to be and found living the way that we're supposed to be living. It's there. We've just got to make the effort and take it.
Amen to that.
Amen. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, when we don't do it on our own, God gives us the opportunity to do it. You know, was it the Apostle Paul? One of them wrote about, you know, this is Christianity, true Christianity. What? To visit the widows and orphans, to take care of those less fortunate, to take care of those that that need it, that are in need. And I think we would do well. You know, many times here at the Christmas season, you'll you know, the they put these stories out that tug on your heartstrings, you know, helping little Timmy with his shoes, or, you know, the card for Mama, or whatever it is. And it's not that those things are bad, not at all, but they shouldn't be limited to 2 weeks out of the year. It should be all the time. It should be all the time. That's part of our Christian culture. It's part of our Christian attitude. It's, but that's what our enemy does so much to, you know, to remove and to substitute other things instead of caring and fulfilling that law of Christ by sharing one another's burdens. Well, guys, we're out of time. Man, I could almost sit down. We could do this an hour, another hour. But the The radio schedule says otherwise. So, men, thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday mornings to join us and to encourage me and to encourage the remnant. I know that they were. So, Josh and Tim, thank you guys both so much.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
And Remnant, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can do that by going to the website and on your computer or on your smartphone. It'll work there as well, scriptures4america.org. And we'll have a live video stream starting at 8:30 Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll have a scriptural review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that is just prophetic for today. We'll have a live message. We'll give you the opportunity to partake of communion, to remember what our Lord and Savior did for us when he came to this earth. And what he did for us while we were yet enemies. Think about that. See, we weren't in friendship with God when Jesus Christ came and saved us. And so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Thanks again for joining us. And I hope we see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Keep on moving over.